Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
I ain't telling you to do any of these things. I'm telling you, no, don't do them. Don't do these things. I mean, only SDS tells you what to do. They come in with a truck and say, come down here, come down here, come down here. Everybody come down here.
Wikipedia has him as Jerry Rubin, born 1938, died 1994, an American social activist, anti-war leader, and counterculture icon during the 60s and 70s. During the 80s, he became a successful businessman. Hi, everyone. I just can't tell you how many times I've said that I just can't eat what or as much as I used to. It just seems to take forever to work off the calories compared to years ago when there really was no particular need to watch what I eat. Well, now the calories and pounds, they stay with me like an old gray suit. Oh, yes, and put me into a party atmosphere where there's food and hors d'oeuvres and might as well throw all discipline out the window. Other than simply enjoying food, it's also been called binge eating. Well, our next guest has written a book about it. Marjorie Cohn has a list of credentials after her name that shows she's put in a lot of time studying the topic. Her book is Overcoming Binge Eating for Dummies. Marjorie, it's great having you here. And binge eating is particularly troublesome for people over 55, I understand, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and certainly on the rise, especially in this population and this age category.
And what is it about that particular population and age category?
Well, what we're seeing now, first and foremost, binge eating is on the rise. And as more and more people in the 55 and plus age range are exposed to more and more food that maybe they weren't exposed to as younger children, such as convenience foods and more hectic lives, as well as just growing older and the challenges that come with that, what we're noticing is a much higher rate of eating disorders and in particular binge eating. It's also a function of the fact that we're learning more about binge eating and something that maybe was a secret and not shared by very many people is now talked about more openly. So it's sort of a chicken and the egg situation in that it is a growing diagnosis, but people are just talking about it more. So it's not as much of a secret or as shameful as it once was.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that it's in our conversation. And so the first thing, I suppose, is to recognize that binge eating is an issue that someone might have, or at least if you talk about oneself, is to recognize that maybe you have a binge eating disorder.
Yes. And it's not just binge eating disorder. We also have to think in the context of emotional eating or compulsive eating. All three categories are different variations of binge eating, but you don't have to sit down and eat a huge quantity of food during a short period of time to be considered a binge eater. It can happen slowly over the course of a day, and it happens as a result of emotion. So if we expand our definition of binge eating, it kind of encompasses all of these elements.
And two, as our metabolism slows, it's a little harder to get rid of those pounds, but it doesn't change the fact that if we have the binge eating tendency, but it's still a lot more difficult to lose those pounds that we gain.
Yes. Yeah, changing bodies, changing hormones, it's kind of adding insult to injury because now your body's not working the same way. Your levels of hunger and fullness have shifted, and maybe you're feeling you're used to eating a certain amount that your body just can't handle anymore. As well as people, you know, as you grow older, you become less active naturally. Our bodies need more rest, and so all of these things make weight loss and maintaining a healthy weight even more difficult, which is actually very depressing and difficult for people, which adds the element of eating to soothe those emotions. So it can be a real cascade effect that next thing you know, you may be severely overweight and binge eating, and binge eating because you're overweight. And so we really need to tease those two apart and work on them separately and at the same time.
Yeah, that's really a good point. It you get a little discouraged, and then you decide maybe it's just time to throw in the towel, and then that creates more problems in itself.
Mm-hmm. It's very much the all-or-nothing thinking that goes along with all eating disorders, binge eating in particular. Oh, well, I've already messed up today because I've had a cookie, so I might as well keep going and start over tomorrow. I always use the example, it's like taking out a new credit card with a higher interest rate to pay off the old credit card with the lower interest rate. It just doesn't make any sense, but it's very much part of the complex issue with binge eating that once we make a mistake, oh, well, we just might as well feed ourselves more and then start over.
As we get older, Marjorie, it seems sometimes it's a never-ending battle to keep that weight down.
Well, it's really difficult. And as you pointed out earlier in our conversation, when your body is starting to change and hormone levels are shifting as you grow older, you may not understand or really know any longer what or how much food you need to maintain your weight in your new body. And so really seeking out professional help, talking to your doctor, seeing a registered dietitian or nutritionist can help people figure out, exactly, you know, what their nutritional needs are at this point in their life.
So I'm in to see my doctor the other day, and I tell him that I'd like to lose some pounds, and so his simple answer to that is, well, just drop down to about 1,500 calories per day, and that'll take care of it. But I think to myself, you know, it just isn't that easy.
Oh, it's absolutely more difficult than just dropping calories. And as a registered dietitian, one of the things that I do for clients is, one, of course, I determine what an appropriate calorie level for maintaining and or losing weight is, but it's really important to make sure that my clients are not dropping their calories too low, because that sets you up to binge and overeat later because you get so hungry. But we also have to look at the types of foods that people are eating. And looking again at binging and the all or nothing, a lot of individuals eat diet products and diet foods, and we know now scientifically that those foods actually don't help us lose weight. If anything, they spur on more hunger because you're feeding yourself something that is nutritionally inadequate, and our bodies are set up to have cravings when we do that.
Well, that's an interesting, good point.
And so that is one of the major physical elements of binge eating disorder. The propensity for people who binge eat or emotionally eat to try to diet, and then they overcompensate and maybe restrict too many calories, too many foods throughout the early part of the day, which inevitably sets them up to binge and overeat at night. And so in addition to a host of other emotional things that may trigger someone to binge, once you throw hunger on top of it, it's a setup for disaster because you genuinely cannot think clearly and rationalize healthy eating and making appropriate choices when your brain is starved of nutrients and calories and sugar, which is not a bad thing. We need sugar for our brain to function properly. And so working with professionals, both a therapist to work on the emotional aspect of binge eating, but a dietitian or nutritionist to work with someone on just making sure they're getting the right foods to support healthy blood sugar throughout the day will inevitably help you make better emotional decisions around food. So there's kind of a catch-22 in that you have to work on both the emotional aspect of binge eating as well as the physical aspect, because one without the other generally doesn't work.
So, Marjorie, let's break this right down to somebody who heard this interview and they say to themselves, you know what, I think I'm going to lose a few pounds. Okay, where do you start?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to enter into potential treatment and figuring it out. One of the things that I highly recommend is looking up information. A colleague of mine and I just finished writing a book called Overcoming Binge Eating Disorder for Dummies. It's meant to be a guide to figure out what to do. So starting with something like this book can really help just figure out what are the pieces. Always start by going to your medical doctor, maybe getting a referral for a therapist or a psychologist that can help. If you look on your insurance panel, you can often find practitioners that specialize in eating disorders. And asking friends and family for help, too, if you're comfortable, of course. Most of us, I shouldn't say most of us, every single one of us knows somebody who probably has an eating disorder, whether it's binge eating, anorexia, bulimia, or any combination. And so you may have a lot more resources than you realize if you just ask around. And therapy always starts with an initial assessment, which is usually anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half long, where a psychotherapist will go through your entire history, both medically and emotionally, and kind of start putting the pieces in place. When it comes to eating disorders and binge eating, your therapist is really the primary point person to assess and put together a team for you. And most therapists do know registered dietitians like myself who work in the area of eating disorders that they can refer you to. It's really important to seek out treatment from someone who does have a background in the field of eating disorders, because it's such a complicated emotional thing to deal with.
Well, that pretty much answers the question I was about to ask about trying to do it on your own. It sounds like that's a tough way to go.
It's a very, very tough way to go. And a lot of clients that I've seen have started to make progress on their own, but it's very difficult. You need support. You need a sounding board. You need someone, at least a therapist and a dietitian, to help guide you through those. And as I pointed out earlier, one of the major flaws that individuals with binge eating and emotional eating, one of the traps that they fall into is overcompensating and trying so hard to eat healthy that often they undercut their nutritional intake, which again leads to binging. So you really have to work with at least two individuals to help figure out what are your physical needs, what are your emotional needs, and then how to bring those together to support you in the best way possible.
And you did mention friends and family, so sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, I guess.
Yes. Unfortunately, sometimes our friends and our family, while they may mean well, are the source of stress, anxiety, and or those emotions that drive someone to eat. So it can be a catch-22, and very frequently in my work with clients, we talk about holidays and family situations and how to deal with those, and what are some tactics that you can use so that you don't wind up overeating or binge eating. And so it's a fine line when you're reaching out to friends and family, and that's something that's really important that you need to acknowledge and sort of work through. Some friends and family may be ideal people to help support you, and some may be individuals that you don't want to let them know this part of your life. And so, again, it's just something that you have to work through, and everybody is different.
So as of this date, when we're recording this interview, Marjorie, the holidays are just upon us. So here we go. Let's begin with the toughest part. Where do you start?
Well, the first thing in my work with clients as a dietitian, I always remind everyone, do not go to a holiday party or any party overly hungry. It's such a simple concept. We've heard it many times, and it's still the truth. when you go to a party where there's a lot of food and probably also a lot of potential emotional things that will stir up, if you are hungry, there is no way that you're going to make healthy decisions. And so going into any sort of situation well-fed and with an absolute plan of what you're going to eat and roughly how much and possibly even when. So, for example, when I'm working with a client about Thanksgiving and they know they're going to their in-laws' house and these are the traditional Thanksgiving foods, I go through them. What's your pecking order? What are the foods that you really like and you want to indulge in? And what are those things that you know, it's there, it's okay, but you don't feel the need to have? And we start there because if it's a holiday, you deserve to enjoy the food. You deserve to have what you want. And let's be honest, if it's there and it's a holiday, eating and maybe overeating to a certain extent is okay and normal in the context of a holiday party. And so we go through these items food by food and really plan out what the meal is going to look like ahead of time. Write it down. Commit to it. Keep it on an index card in your wallet or in your back pocket. Pull it out when you go to the restroom and take a look at it and just reaffirm what the plan is. Going into a situation without a plan is a setup for disaster.
And Marjorie, let's not forget the fact that a food is great to have around. It's social. We get to know people. We enjoy new flavors and tastes. Some people live to eat. Other people eat to live. But in either case, it's something to enjoy.
Absolutely. This is, food is meant to be enjoyed. Food is an emotional experience sometimes. The problem with eating disorders is that it becomes food also acts as an emotional navigator. When someone's eating because of emotions, chronically it's a problem. To eat out of happiness because it's a holiday and this is a food that you only have once a year and you're enjoying your family and your friends that you're with, that's okay. Eating out of sadness is okay, too, on occasion, and that's a reality for all of us. When you have a breakup or, something unfortunate, people come together and they eat together. And so, kind of teasing apart what's normal overeating versus abnormal overeating. Eating three pieces of your favorite pie on Thanksgiving is overeating. But in the context of once a year on Thanksgiving, you know what? That's in a social situation, that's an okay thing. If you overeat three pieces of pie every Thursday night in secret just because of emotions, that's something different. So we have to look at the context of the situation that we're in and what we're overeating on.
Something I always like to ask is how people got into their particular field of study or their career, or their specialty. What drove your passion to do what you're doing today?
Well, I am a registered dietitian. I'm also a certified personal trainer, and I was an overweight child who struggled with emotional eating. Ever since I was very young and into my 20s and even my early 30s until I really kind of came into my own and had my own therapy experience and learned more about what my emotional needs are and stopped using food. And so it's always been an interest of mine as well as just science and healthy living. And so in my 20s, when I first started my career, I naturally gravitated to the area of eating disorders. And I still work in the area of eating disorders with Metro Behavioral Health Associates. You can look us up at mbha.com. And we are an eating disorder program in the New York City area. We also do outreach and virtual work with clients as well. And the founder, Jenny Kramer, is my co-author of the book, Overcoming Binge Eating for Dummies.
And finally, Marjorie, some tips that people can do today to start controlling their weight and their health.
Well, the first thing you need to do is keep a very detailed food diary. It can be a little bit laborious in the beginning, but you really need to look at what are your current habits and why you're using those. So you want to write the food, well, time of day, obviously, and what meal or snack that you're having, the food, about how much of it you're eating, and what thoughts or emotions are going through your head when you eat it. Also making note of how hungry or full you are to really see if you're intuitive with your eating to fill you up versus overfill. The other thing I would really start with is kind of thinking about what it is that you're looking for. A lot of clients come in and we work with them, and they know they have a problem, but they don't know where the problem started, when it became a problem. And so kind of looking at your history and seeing, you know, do you feel guilty if you don't finish everything on your plate? Well, that may relate back to being part of the Clean Plate Club that you grew up with as a child, but you're not a child anymore, and you certainly don't need to finish your plate. And so looking at your history as well as what's going on now would really help. And if you really think you have a problem and you have emotional experiences with food, definitely start looking up some resources. Look for a therapist on your insurance panel. If you feel comfortable, ask family or a friend for a referral. Ask your doctor. Get your blood work checked out. Another problem with baby boomers and this age category is that health is now a real priority. And so we need to look at things like cholesterol level, weight, heart disease, your risk of stroke or any other conditions is going to be increased very quickly with binge eating, and that's a real problem. You know, taking a health first perspective and not necessarily a weight first perspective usually helps clients or the people I work with be a little bit more motivated.
And what people can do to get the book or know more about you?
The easiest place is to look us up on the website. There is a link to purchase the book there, and it's called MBHA.com.
Great. And then they could find the book there as well. Is that right?
That is correct. Our book, a link for our book is on the first page of the website, so you'll see it immediately, Overcoming Binge Eating for Dummies. It's an excellent resource for identifying binge eating disorder, identifying emotional triggers, treatment options, tips on how to get better, ways to talk to your family, and also a lot of statistics that are very interesting to the disease as well as to men and women.
Well, Marjorie, that's been great information, and with the holidays and all coming up, I certainly appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.